Thank you, Hayden, for that rousing welcome. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be able to just come and preach God's word this morning and to be found in his house. Amen. I just trust you've had all a good week and just enjoying the goodness of God. Because God's goodness is everywhere, isn't it? And it's God's desires for us to enjoy everything that he's given us. And so we just need to be in his presence and doing that. But this morning I want to speak about desire or desires. And I felt God was leading me to do this. He woke me up a couple of weeks ago now in the early hours this morning. And I found myself preaching this word about desires, the desires of your heart. And it came really strong upon me. So I felt that that was God just leading me to speak about this today. So that's what I'm doing this morning. And desire or desires. And it is something, it's a word that is mentioned quite frequently in many of the books of the Bible. In fact, the word desire or desires is mentioned over 100 times. Looking in the NIV study Bible there, looking in the back of that there, and just I didn't count them. I did count them roughly, but it's over 100. I just forget the exact number there. So I'm sure God would mention that many times that it was something that he wanted us to take notice of. Amen. Something about having the desires of your heart. And from what I'm looking through many of the scriptures during the week, there are many, many powerful, impacting and practical, encouraging verses of scripture regarding desire or desires. And in the dictionary, it expresses the meaning of something wished for, or something requested. But so looking at it like that, it sounds rather a pleasant word, isn't it? Desire, it is a good word, I feel. But looking at it from God's point of view and perspective, it has a very personal application, doesn't it? A very personal application that implicates something good and pleasing. And I know that's God's heart for us. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, I was pleased Kayleen mentioned that in the word there this morning about the desire. It's something that has to be something burning deep within us, and especially in the things pertaining to the things of God. But when we delight ourselves in the Lord, the meaning is simply that we should be happy in the Lord's service, shouldn't we? And we should be delighting ourselves. It always should be a joy that everything we do for God, we are happy to do, we're happy to give, we're happy to serve, we're happy to worship, happy to pray, and every part of that in delighting the Lord in that way. And we should seek the happiness, as it says in Psalm 37 there. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. The desires of your heart. And which means we shall God will give us all his benefits and of knowing who he is and all his perfections and about his friendship, this great love that he gives us and this great grace that he continues to pour out upon us and forgiveness. And forgiveness is such a wonderful thing that we know that God can forgive us when we muck up. Amen? So it's good to have to know all those things of who God is and that. And as the word says, he shall give you the desires of your heart. Literally asking the request of your heart. The things that you desire and ask will be granted according to the fact that you delight yourself in the Lord and you seek your happiness in Him. And as we do this, these things, as we desire to seek the Lord and seek the happiness in Him, He will regulate these desires that come upon us, and as these desires come upon us, you know, where things we ask for, things that we're seeking, God will grant them in a great way, in the proper way. And as you delight, as we delight ourselves in Him, you know, it will be how we approach God, how we look to God, and that will what's the word? What I'm trying to say, that's how God will properly grant. When we go to God in the right way, the right manner, and approach God and ask Him with a sincere heart, that's when God will answer prayer in a wonderful way. Yes, Paul, amen. So, but it's all about when our will is subdued to God's will, you know, we've got to be together, haven't we? When we're equally linked, that is God with us, us with God. And that's how God works. And that's when God works, when we're linked to Him, when He's with us, He's always with us. But times we take a step backwards and we get a little bit funny or upset or whatever. But, you know, God, when we're in the equally yoked, equally linked, God's will do things in us and through us. And He'll just give us give the Holy Spirit the freedom to reign and rule in our lives. So I think it's just a precious thing that God will grant us the desires of His heart. And so we just enjoy all that, everything that God gives us. I've either lost the page or this is really stuck together. Must be here somewhere, I hope it is. Yes, it is. So, what is the desire of God? What is the desire of the God, desire of a good man or a good woman? What's this desire that's within us? And I feel it's this. It simply is to know and to love God. It's a simple thing, isn't it? That should be our desire, you know, to simply know and to love, know and to love God and to serve Him and commit our ways to Him. And sometimes people find that hard, don't they, about committing their ways to God. You know, well, I would do it my way. But no, we need to do things God's way. And as we do that, we know that whatever we have committed unto Him, these desires that we've committed unto God will come to pass. Amen. So we have that hope that we can look forward to, that God will bring to pass all these things, these secret desires within, the good desires. But in Psalm 43, verse 4, it tells us there about when we go to the altar of the Lord. And that's where we have to go, don't we? That's the only place we can go. I'll read that. But as we go there, you know, God takes great pleasure as we come before Him in that way, and we just go into His presence and to reach Him. And in Psalm 43, verse 4, there I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy. I will praise Him. I will praise You with my harp, O God, my God. That was the heart of David there. And he's just expressing his desire for God. And he said, I'm going to go into that place. That's where I want to be. And I'll go there because he is the source of my strength. He is the source of my joy. And I can delight in him and all of his goodness in that way. And David says, I'll praise you with my heart, O God, my God. And as we know, David was a great instrumentalist, and apparently the harp was his great love. And you can just imagine David just sitting there getting lost in the presence of God, just strumming and playing this harp and just worshiping, praising. And as words come upon him, he's just extolling the goodness of God. And we know how David's life was, but David always went back to God. He knew when he mucked up. He knew when he said things wrong. But he always came back to God. And there was always a but there. And he said, but you, God, you are my God. You are my strength. You are my refuge. And in you I will trust. Amen. So as we see there, you know, that was David's heart. And he was just able to express himself so much and just get lost in the presence of God in worship. And that's where we need to go, don't we? That's where Taylor was trying to take us this morning, to get us into that presence, into that place where we can worship God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, everything that is within us. And So we want to be able to do that. And as believers, you know, the divine call, God's call upon our life is to come before God in a righteous way, with good, in a righteous way, good heart, good spirit. And our response to anything that God lays upon us, you know, should be that of a righteous life. Anything that we want to take to God, the things we want to bring before God should come out of a righteous heart, a righteous spirit, or a repentant heart, a repentant spirit. And as we do that, as we just release ourselves, God will act in our lives. Amen? God will do something. And we know, and I just said how King David, he went through many perilous times. And as you read the Psalms, you'll see just so much. But amongst those perilous times, he sought the hand of God. He wanted God's hand upon him in everything he done, everywhere he went, and just wanted God's presence to be just all about him all the time. And that, but as we know, David, he cried out to God. And you read the scriptures, you can just feel his heart so much. He cried out, not just for protection for himself from his attackers, but most of all, David always had that prayer that God would not allow him to fall into sin. And that's a wonderful prayer to have, that God would keep our hearts pure. And that's what David wanted. Psalm 25, where David cries out asking for protection there. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5 there. And David says here, he says, show me the right path, O Lord. Point out to me the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me. For you are God. You are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. And that was David's prayer there. And further on in the same chapter, in verse 20 there, he says, protect me, rescue my life from them. Do not let me be disgraced, for in you I take refuge. May integrity and honesty protect me, for I put my hope in you. And again, it just reinforces how when David's reached out, he knew he could do that because his hope was in God. And he always looked to God to do that. And again, as he said, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your path. That's David wanted God to show him, to God's ways. He wanted to do things God's ways. And he's asking God for that, to show me your ways. Teach me your path. Show me the road, that path that you want me to walk along, to guide me in the truth and teach me. And for you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. And he spoke about integrity and uprightness. And that was pretty important to him because of what David said. He said, my hope is in you. I can't trust anyone else. I can't trust others. I only trust you, Lord, because my hope is you. And then in Psalm 141, I was speaking there about desires of your heart. Psalm 141, it is here. Psalm 141, verses 3 to 4. Again, David, this is a psalm of David. And the opening words in verse 1, O Lord, I'm calling to you. Please hurry. He's asking God. He's not frightened to ask God. But in verse 3 and 4 there, what I want to speak about, David again, he says, take control of what I say, Lord. And that's something that we really need to think about, don't we? For God to take control about the things we can say, because we can come out with some pretty awful stuff. And we're all capable of that. But here, David, and we need to listen to what he says here. Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. Don't let me drift toward evil or take part in acts of wickedness. Don't let me share in the delicacies of those who do wrong. So there again, it was David's prayer there guard his mouth. And again, something for all of us, to guard our mouths, because we can do so much damage, can't we? And when we speak in the wrong way, in the wrong attitude, and at the wrong time. And David said, to keep a watch over the doors of my lips, guard my mouth what I say. Let not my heart be drawn to what is evil. David didn't want any part of that. And he said, Lord, don't let me be drawn into these things and to take part in wicked deeds with those who are evil. And we know again in Psalm 51, verse 8 there, David was asking God, he was speaking about his heart, and he said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right, a spirit, a loyal spirit, one version actually says. So we need to have a loyal spirit, a spirit that's not going to be divided or moved in any way. As I just said a moment ago, David had that strength in God, that confidence in God, that he could call upon his name, and that God would protect those desires that he so much wanted in his life, that he could lead a godly life, a righteous life, a life that of integrity, and be a man of character. That's what we all want to be. We want to be people of character, people with integrity, people who will stand there and speak the truth to someone, and not to stretch it or any way like that. Just by reading the scriptures there, that's the heart that God wants for us, to have that desire in us that we would always cry out to him, just like the psalmist cried out. It's like to tell a little story, as a bit of boy talk. It's about a frog who wanted to be a prince, and he absolutely knew his destiny was to turn into a handsome prince. But for confirmation, he decided to visit a fortune teller. And the fortune teller gazed into a crystal ball and said, oh, I see something. you are very close to a beautiful young woman. And the frog became very excited and said, yes, I know I'm going to become a beautiful prince. And the fortune teller continues, I see a radiant face coming close to you as she desires to know all about you. The frog again, very excited, asked the fortune teller. And he says, where am I? Am I on a date in a club? And the fortune teller says, no, in a biology class. But again, it just emphasizes a little point that about desires. Anyway, but again, but speaking about desires, Psalm 27, again here, desires, the one thing I desire, the one thing I desire. This is a real heartfelt cry from David, and I love it. And it says here in Psalm 27, verse 4, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing I ask, the thing that I seek most is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What a powerful thing to have, say. What a powerful thing to say. All the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. That was a real heartfelt call from David. And he's about that one thing, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing I desire, the one thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He never wanted to be out of God's presence. Always wanted to be into God's presence. And as he says, delighting in the Lord. I spoke about that a moment ago. About being happy in the Lord. And that's what David wanted. He wanted to be in the presence of God. Just delighting in his presence. And in the Lord's perfections. And just meditating in his temple. He never wanted to get out of that presence of God. There, but so we all have desires, don't we? I'm sure everyone has a desire about something that's, you know, burning deep within them. But I feel if we didn't have desires, you know, there wouldn't be too much in life, would there? You know, because when we have desires, our desires determine our direction in which we'll go. If we have desires to do something, go somewhere, well, it stirs us, doesn't it? And so through our desires, they just determine that direction. And as we do that, the desires can reveal our true motivations, the real things that we want. But desires can reveal our priorities. And We see that so much in our own lives, you know, about how our desires, where they can take us, what we can do, all that sort of thing. But as it says there, may he give you the desires of your heart, the desires of your heart. Desire, in another psalm, Psalm 20 verse 4, he said, desires that your plans may succeed. God wants you to succeed. God wants that for us, that as we just seek him and delight in him, in his presence, and cry out as David did, and have that on our hearts, that one thing, the one thing that I want to be, I want to live in the house of the Lord forever. I want to be in his presence. And that was David. But as we seek God and look to him and have those desires, but God wants us, our plans to succeed, and I'm sure everyone. But as we know, desires, you know, everyone has them, don't they? And they take on many shapes and forms, but we have desires about ourselves and about our families, and we want things for our families. We want to see ourselves financially secure. Have a good place for a working job, people wanting work, praying for work, people looking for work, but just for the job to be secure. And we need to pray for a lot of people whose jobs are threatened. There's people in our church who are just living under that cloud. Young Brendan Raj in Qantas, Brendan in Holden. I don't know about any other people, but I know there's people looking for work. And I know that's your desire, and that's God's desire, that this will come to pass. And as you seek him and find him, and as the scripture says, these things will be added unto you. These things will come to pass. And so as we look to God, we do that. And as we know, you know, we have desires for the kingdom of God to grow. We know there's a community out there who we're barely touching. Over 300,000 people, isn't it, I think, plus in the city of Brimbank. And so, you know, we're only touching a few of them. But our heart is, as it is God's heart, that we can reach out and touch these people and at least tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. And if we can tell someone, one person today, about the love of Jesus, we will be doing a powerful job. Because that's all God asks us to do, that we will go and speak and tell someone that Jesus loves you. And that if we do that, at least we put a word in for God. And that's what God wants us to do, to tell someone that God is love. And many, many people need that today. And situations during the week happened in this community. So our heart goes out to people who don't know Jesus, people who are in such a confused state. You know, they just do things that just don't seem possible, but things happen. So we just need to be in that frame of mind always. And to reach out for God. But we want to see kingdom growth. We want to see church growth. And people coming and being in the house of God every Sunday and having that fellowship together. But, you know, God has desires. He needs the desires of your heart. And that's what God wants from us. And as we know, a word from Deuteronomy 6:4 tells us there, we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, everything that is within us. And he wants to do that wholeheartedly all the time. He wants us to be consistent in our walk with him. And also in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it speaks there again about if my people will humble themselves and pray. It's not such a big deal, is it, that God's asking? He's just asking a small thing. Will you pray? Will you pray? A month of prayer, good opportunity to get into a good habit, to come and have that fellowship and to pray together, to encourage one another by the power of prayer. Prayer is a powerful thing. It's a powerful impartation of the Spirit of God from you to other people, from God to you. They're the things, the benefits of God, the goodness of God, that we're all able to enjoy. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, it speaks there about that he desires that all men will be saved. And that's on the desire of many people's hearts here this morning, that, you know, we will get people saved. And that's something that's our business. That's what we're all about, that people are our business. And as it says, that all men, women and children everywhere will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will come to know the truth that will set them free. And so there's so much needed in people's life and that. But, you know, we all need God. People need God. And I believe, and I've said to many people, whether you believe it or not, God is in you. And they look at you stupid and say, well, how do you know that? A I said, well, he's your creator. And so I said, he's planted himself within you, but you've got to come to that place and to accept and realize and accept that, you know, hey, there's a spirit in you, and that spirit is the spirit of God, and that spirit needs to come alive. And so we always have that hope and that desire. But with desires, we can have good desires, we can have wrong desires, can't we? And that happens a lot, but in God's words ask of us, and the question is asked, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? And just to paraphrase that again, what will you gain if you get what you want but you lose your joy in the process? What will you gain in doing that? So we can have the wrong desires, can't we? And even if we get those desires, we will not ultimately be fulfilled, you know, if those desires do come to pass in the wrong way. But in the midst of all our desires, you know, the one thing is that we keep trusting, doesn't it? We trust, we have that hope, we have that belief that one day that will happen. And that was our heart for many years about our caravan ministry, that one day it would happen. It was laid in our heart many years ago that one day we would go out and reach out to churches beyond Grow Church. And so, you know, over several years it all came to pass, and next week we're away again for a week at Mansfield, so I won't be here next Sunday, so bless you all. But you know, God will bring things to pass. You know, you might think, well, God, you're pretty slow bringing this stuff past, but God's timing is perfect, isn't it? And God will grant things in the proper way at the proper time, and he'll give you the proper thing where you will be properly over to administer what he's given us. And so we just need to be trusting the one who answers your prayers. That's what it's all about, isn't it? And unless we trust God, well, we're not really obeying him, are we? Trusting God. To trust and obey, there's no other way. Remember the little Sunday school song? Yeah, trust and obey, there's no other way. But trusting in Jesus, I forget the next bit, but a long time ago. But it's about trusting in God, you know, and being faithful to him. You know, if it seems that God is not answering your prayers, well, just trust that there's a good reason he has not to. You know, like I said, timing. But trust whatever the circumstances, because God is there. He's aware of your situation. Whether you feel it or not, God knows you. He knows your heart. He knows the circumstances you're in. He knows the problems that are about you. And he's the one, as you trust him, he will give you, he'll bring peace upon your heart, number one. And then he will take care of the things that are upon you. But it's all a part of delighting in the Lord. I delight in the Lord. That was David's cry. And to do that, you know, to have that exquisite joy. It's a real joy to be in God's presence. It's a real joy to worship God. It's a real joy to be amongst his people. I love coming to see you people. I love it. And it's a very precious time as we come together each week, as we meet during the week. It's good to see people who sometimes we may not have seen for a while. There's visitors here this morning. Bless you, folk, and for everyone here today. But we just need to have the joy of the Lord, to delight in his presence, to be in his presence, and through spending time and worshipping together and to God. But that's how David drew strength from God. As he rejoiced in the Lord, so did his confidence in his Savior grow. He gained strength. And David, as we read the scriptures, he continually praised and acknowledged what a mighty God he served. What a mighty God we serve. So, you know, we need to be like that. It's not just a matter of waiting for something to happen, but we do need to be resting and waiting upon the Lord. But we need to understand this, that it's resting and waiting just doesn't mean they're sitting and twiddling your thumbs, does it? We have to be doing something. As the scripture tells us, you know, to reach out to God, to cry out to God, like the psalmist did many, many other places, encourage us through the word, how we are to tap into the Spirit of God and to draw our strength from God and to do that. So we have to do our part. We just can't sit there and wait and that. But if you sit there and wait and do nothing, nothing will happen. There's nothing sure. We can guarantee you that. But when you reach out to God and you ask of God, he says, ask of me and I will give you. So we do that. But when we do our part, the difference is, you know, between us and that is we are relying on God's sovereignty, the sovereign hand of God, his sovereign hand upon us just to lead you and guide you, just like David asked, to lead him, to teach him, to show him his ways. That's what we have to do. And accept the Lord's guidance. And as we do that, these desires, the things that burn within us, will come to pass. again, about waiting. Waiting says, I'm trusting you, God. And that has to be a real powerful force in your life, and saying, no matter what, I'm trusting you, God. I'm believing you, God. I know you will come to the party and answer my prayer and answer that need. but as I said a moment ago, God's timing is perfect, isn't it? God's timing. He's always on time. At that very point of time, he will come and meet that need. And we know that at one point of time in your life, Christ came to save us. Christ touched my life. He's touched your lives. At that very point of time, that time when you needed him most, he came into your life and then he said, you are now a child of mine. You are a child of God. waiting sometimes, you know, sometimes is the hardest part of our Christian walk, waiting for an answer. When's God going to answer? When God's ready, when his timing is right, when the timing is right. But I greatly encourage through the word of God in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It's one of my favourite scriptures. It's about, but they that wait upon the Lord, Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew the strength. They shall mount up with the eagles. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. That's a powerful word, isn't it? That's a powerful, encouraging word. You notice how the scripture opens there and it says, but. When there's a but, we need to open our ears and just take notice, because as God says here, there's a condition, but they that wait upon the Lord. Remember I just said a moment ago, you have to do something. Well, wait upon God in the proper way. And as we do that, that's a condition, that as we wait upon the Lord, not run ahead of God. Not run ahead of the Lord, but wait upon him. And as it said, that's the condition there. But now is the promise. The promise is that you will renew your strength. You will renew your strength and we will mount up with wings as eagles. And as it says, we shall run and not be weary. I love that part. That as we walk in God's presence, as we serve God, guess what? We're going to be strengthened. Otherwise, we would just collapse in a heap if we didn't have the power and the strength and the purpose of God. And God just reassuring us with word and scripture like that, how he will renew our strength, and we're going to rise up and mount up with wings as eagles, and we're going to run with the things of God. Amen. We're going to take his word into all those who don't know Christ Jesus. And as we do that, as we serve him through everything we do for God, you know, we're going to be strengthened, and we're not going to faint, and we're not going to become weary. And I really love that passage of scripture. And I know it served me well in my life, and it'll serve you well in your life as we put our hope and trust in God. And got a little bit of time yet, but through all this, am I willing to wait and get the best? Are you willing to wait and get the best? Are you willing? Do you want to soar like an eagle, or do you want to struggle to get off the ground? And that's a fact of life, isn't it? Some people will just run with everything in them, everything that God's given. They're full of zeal, fire, want to serve God, want to go out and witness, want to do everything. But some people just fail to get going, don't they? They find it hard, and they're the ones that we need to encourage. They're the ones that we need to help to really take hold of what the scripture says, to let it come alive in their life. And so we need to get up there and be soaring and doing the things of God. So this morning, I want to encourage you this morning, you know, to be wise enough to let God give you what he wants you to have. Be wise enough to let God give you the things that he wants you to have, because his gifts are always the best. God always gives the best. There's no second-hand furniture, no second-hand stuff with God. He wants to give you the very best. And in Psalm 23, again, a wonderful psalm that we all know so well. It concludes with the psalmist's desire that he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the psalmist's confidence in God, he said, surely, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What confidence to have. We shouldn't worry. The scriptures tell us not to worry about the things of life. But here, be encouraged as a reaffirmation in God's word about this there that he would dwell in the house of the Lord, and able to say, he says, surely God, he said, saying that surely, I know that God, that your goodness, that your mercy, your unfailing love will be with me all the days of my life. Your presence will never leave me. No matter what people do to me, no matter what people say, the presence of God will never leave you. So we just see there that David's confidence and assurance became a burning desire of that God's goodness that would never depart from him. And again, Psalm 40, verse 8 there, it speaks about having the desire to do God's will. That's all David wanted, having that desire there about delighting in the Lord. I want to read that one, Psalm 27. Psalm 27, we're coming to a close here, but It's here speaking about, you know, the desire of the heart about doing God's will. Psalm 27 again, verse 4. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing that I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. I read that early on, but I just wanted to finish with part of that, you know, about the one thing of I, oh dear, excuse me, about what David said, the one thing I have desired, the one main object. This was the object that he wanted. It was a constant wish of his. You know, it was the ruling desire of his heart, the leading object in his life. Then he said, the one thing I most earnestly desire all the days of my life. He said, I want this for the rest of my life. Rest of my life. It was constant to the end with David to have that desire met. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing I seek most. That's a heart, isn't it? You feel David's heart. You read that and you can feel that, is to live in the house of the Lord forever, all the days of my life. And I want to do that, and I'm sure you people here this morning want to do that. Never want to wander away from the presence of God, and to be able to delighting in the Lord, that exquisite delight, and meditating in his temple. And it speaks here about delighting in the Lord and satisfying your heart with good things, satisfying your desires with good things. And Psalm 103 verse 5 says, he fills my heart with goodness, not with rubbish, with goodness. He fills my heart with good things. My youth is renewed like eagles. And so Proverbs 11:6 says, the righteous of the upright delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. It's a mighty contrast, isn't it? In the goodness of God and the things that are not of God. So that there, as it says, you know, that God will give you the desires of your heart and he will fill your heart with good things. I like that. He will fill your heart with good things when youth is renewed. And so this morning again, it's our righteousness that's going to keep us on the right path, isn't it? Righteousness and faithfulness, they work hand in hand, and to be able to do that. But we know that unfaithfulness leads to that will bring about our downfall. We know that so well in the things of life. And Mark 4 verse 19, she says there, but the worries of life, of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things, the desires for other things will come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. So it's those things, the undesirable things, the things that we shouldn't desire. They just muck up our whole thing, don't they? But when we allow anything that is not of God into our lives, you know, it's the little things. And it speaks about that in the Song of Solomon's. It's the little foxes that spoil the nest. I was given that verse many years ago by Nancy Harkin, a wonderful woman of God, when we first came into the church, only a month or so after we came, and I went out for prayer, and she put a little woman, Nancy, I think some of you know, but she put a finger on my nose, and she started to speak this word, and she said, it's the little foxes that bring that nest, that spoil the nest, and I sort of step back and come forward again. And she went, she started to pray, and I went down like a bag of potatoes. But we know so well, it's the little things that spoil the nest. It's the little things that spoil our walk in God, isn't it? The little things that were the things that are not of God, It's the things that are not of God that spoil the things. And as you know, they start out small, but when we allow them to get to the place where they overtake every bit of goodness that has been sown into life, that's when things are part. But right throughout the scripture in the New Testament there, as Jesus went about teaching and preaching and speaking parables, he spoke about all these things, how we just need to be aware of and to always have our heart set towards our desires and the things of God. And that's why it's so important, you know, that as we seek our heart's desire and delight in the Lord, be happy in the Lord. I just feel, you know, and to serve him with the gladness that to do, let our heart's desire become God's desire. Our desires, your desire, let them become God's too. Us with God, God with us, together, these things will come to pass. And as we do that, you know, you're going to live a very fulfilled life in the life of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, Father God, again, I just thank you, Lord, for the wonderful opportunity of being able to speak your word this day. Father, I just thank you that, Lord, you laid a word on my heart. Lord, it had become a desire to speak it, Father. Lord, you've brought this to pass this morning, Father God. You've been true and faithful to your word, Father. So, Father, we just look to you this day. We know, Lord, as these desires, these things that yearn within, Father, that burn deep, Father, to be a real has become a burning desire, a zealousness within our spirit, Father. It'd be like the Apostle Paul and to really have that in our hearts that we would to be happy and to know and rejoice that Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. And so, Father, we just thank you again for this day, Father. Lord, for anyone here this morning who doesn't know you, Father, let your desire that they may come to know you be that come to pass this day, Father, that today they would give their heart to you. So this morning, the invitation is for anyone here this morning that doesn't know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, just to come forward to prayer. And that will come to pass as we just pray with you, as we stand with you. God will give you the desires of your heart. Lord, for others, many people in our midst, Father, Lord, things weigh heavy upon them, Father. Lord, through others' desires where they've allowed things to come in, we just pray, Father God, for your spirit just to minister to the heart that's just crying out today, Father. Lord, for your hand to come upon them. And Lord, just to touch them in a wonderful way. Lord, but we look to you now. And Lord, to be able to say that I will want to live in the house of the Lord forever, and that I will delight in the Lord and in his presence all the days of my life. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.